Good morning, everybody. Chodesh Tov. Thank you, Zamira, for reaching out and inviting me to be here today. And thank you to the OU Center for inviting me and hosting me and all of us today. Thank you. Thank you all for coming. Just a reminder, if you happen to have a cell phone on you, so a reminder for cell phones off, minds and hearts on and open. Be'ezras Hashem. If a person's expecting an urgent call, then please switch the cell phone to like a vibrate mode or a silent mode, please. Thank you very much. Okay. As was mentioned, and you've been sitting here, I don't know for how long, and going through various acronyms, what the name of this month of Elul, what it represents, I want to share with you, read off at least partially from a sheet I have in front of me. You don't have these photocopied sheets in front of you. I'm only going to spend a very short amount of time on it. I'm taking from the Piskei Tshuvos. Piskei Tshuvos, written by Rabbi Simcha Rabinowitz, which is a tremendously comprehensive work, a running commentary on the Mishnah Brura, written by the Chafetz Chaim, a halachic work, which is going on the Orach Chaim section of the Code of Jewish Law. And at the very beginning of chapter 581, he shares, he quotes a number. This Piskei Tshuvos quotes a number of rimazim, a number of hints which share insight as to what the month of Elul is really supposed to be about. So he begins with the Mishnah Brura. I have no idea what you've heard up until now. Some of it might be repetitive, some of it might be new, or review, whatever the case is. Mishnah Brura b'hakdama l'simin, the Chafetz Chaim writes in the preface to this chapter, he says, and the first, I guess, hint or code or remez of the month of the name Elul in scriptural verse. The first one is the most famous one that everybody quotes off the top, and that comes from a verse in Shir HaShirim, in Song of Songs, in 6-3. Those words, you probably heard them already this morning, if not 1,000 times before that. Ani l'dodi v'dodi li, which means I am my beloved's and my beloved is mine. And the acronym of those four words, Ani, begins with an aleph, l'dodi with a lamed, v'dodi with a vav, li begins with a lamed. Rashi Tevos Elo, the acronym of those words, spells out Elo, the name of our month right now. However, the Mishnah Berurah goes on to say, don't just look at the Rashi Tevos or the acronym, look at the last letter of each word, which I don't know of a word in English for that. I know there's acronym, right, for Rashi Tevos. I know there's something called Sofei Tevos, but I don't know of an English word for the last letter of each word, so I made one up on my own. I call it a sophonym. Huh? So the sophonym of these four words, olemem, has a numerical value of 40 because the last letter of each word is a yud. Ani ends with a yud, lidodi, vidodi, li, it's all yuds at the end. Yud is a letter which is numerically 10, and since there are four of them, so, 10 times 4, higher mathematics would be 40. Mem, kineged, what does that represent? Mem yom, me rosh chodesh ad yom kippurim, the 40 days from rosh chodesh Elul until yom kippur. And he goes on to say, shahatshuva mekubelas lihios karov el dodo, this is a period of time that our tshuva, our repentance, is much more likely to be received by our beloved one, Dodo, as is hinted to by the Rashi Tevos, by the acronym of Ani L'dodi V'dodi Li, which is Elul. So putting the Rashi Tevos, or acronym, together with the sophonym, that's what it comes to teach us. This has been number one. One of several interpretations or several codes of the word or name Elul in scriptural verse. That's number one. Number two. Va'otzmach Mikra. There is another verse found in Parshas Nitzavim. In chapter 30, verse 6, it says there, Umol Hashem Elokecha, es levavcha ve'es levav zarecha, which means in English, Hashem your God will circumcise your heart and the heart of your offspring. If you take four words out of this sentence, and that is, es levavcha ve'es levav, you have the Rashi Tevos, you have the acronym of Elul again. Rashi Tevos Elul. It means Es Levavcha, means your heart. The Es Levav and the hearts of Rashi Tevos Elul. That was number two. A second code to the month of Elul in scriptural verse. We move on. Va'od Ramazim Muva Bisfarim HaKadoshim Al Chodesh Elul. There are many other Rimazim, other hints or codes in holy sources that talk about the month of Elul. And here we get to number three. For number three, we're going to draw upon a verse from the book of Esther in 9-22. And that verse says, Ish Lireyehu Umatanos Laevyonim, which means in English, to one another, and gifts to the poor. So again, Ish begins with an Aleph, Lireyehu begins with a Lamed, Umatanos begins with a Vav, Laevyonim begins with a Lamed. Again, Roshei Tevos Elo, the acronym is Elo. He goes on to say here, Lirameis, this comes to hint to us, to teach us, Sheyesh Laharbos, Bikiyum Mitzvos Tzedakah V'Chesed. This means that during this time, we are meant to increase the amount of mitzvos that we do, and specifically the amount of tzedakah, charity that we give, and the amount of chesed and kind acts of that we do with other people, that is something the Rosh Tevos Elo is hinting to that. Before I continue the listing here of many different Rosh Tevos acronyms and sophonyms and what have you with the word Elo, I'd like to make an observation, Be'ezras Hashem. There are so far three different interpretations or three different Rosh Tevos that we have on the table. And I think that these three positions right now already represent three relationships that every single person has in this world. So the first one was Elul, was acronym, Ani L'Dodi V'Dodi Li, I am my beloved is mine. And that's taken from Shir HaShirim, Song of Songs. Well, what is that book about, if not a love story between the Jewish people and God himself? Ani L'Dodi, I am my beloved's, referring to Hashem. V'Dodi Li, my beloved Hashem is mine. And this represents the first relationship that everybody has. It is called Bein Adam L'Makom, the relationship between man and God. And since we find the word Elul coded into those words, it comes to teach us that the month of Elul is a propitious time to improve on that relationship, Bein Adam L'Makom, between man and God. Another of the three that we have on the table so far, as we mentioned, taken from the book of Esther, Ish Lireyehu, Umatanos Laevyonim, which again has the acronym of Elul, that represents a second relationship that everybody has, and that is called Bein Adam Lachavero, between man and man, or known as interpersonal relationships. And since the name Elul appears as the acronym of those words in the book of Esther, it comes to teach us that the month of Elul is a propitious time to improve even more so in our relationships that we have with other people. But then one of the other three that we mentioned before, that was taken from Parshas Nitzavim. And there it says, Umal Hashem Elokecha, Es levavcha ve'es levav zarecha, which means Hashem your God is going to circumcise your heart and the hearts of your offspring. When we talk about circumcision, that's something done to our own bodies, or in this context, circumcision done to our own hearts, which represents a third relationship that everybody has, and that is called Bein Adam La'atzmo, between a person and himself. We deserve to be treated well by ourselves. And if the word, the name Elul appears in the acronym of the four words from that verse, it comes to teach us that Elul is a propitious time to improve upon our relationship, Bein Adam La'atzmo, between one person, any person, and himself. That's just an observation on the three that we have so far. Let's move on to the fourth acronym that we find with respect to the word or the name Elul. And here we draw from a verse in Parshas Mishpatim, chapter 21, verse 13, Ina liyado v'samti lecha, which means caused it to come to his hands, and I will provide for you. If you read the rest of the verse, it says, I will samti lecha makom asher yanus shama. I will provide you a place to which you will flee. This, the context of this verse is talking about the Orei Miklat, cities of refuge, where an accidental killer has to run away to. And if we find in that verse, coded, the Rosh Tevos Elul, he says, Shemechaper al hashkagos ke'en Orei Miklat. This comes to teach us, if Elul is hinted to in that verse, it means to teach us that the month of Elul has an energy, it has a power to forgive us for any accidental sins we may have committed, just like the cities of refuge atoned for an accidental murderer who murdered someone or killed someone accidentally. That is a fourth approach as to what the name Elul represents. Va'od, we go now to number five. Va'od muva, it is also brought down, she'elul milashon vaya'alun yas'ara. Boy, we have to stop here for a moment. Those sound like some funky Aramaic words, and they are. Where is this coming from? We turn to Parshas Shlach in chapter 13, verse 21, where the Torah tells us, V'yasuru es ha'aretz, and they spied out the land. So Unklus, the running, you know, Aramaic translation slash commentary to the Torah, he wants to turn, convert the words, V'yasuru es ha'aretz, into Aramaic. And what are the words that he uses? Ve'alilu yas'ara, which means in Aramaic the same thing as it means in Hebrew, and that is, and they spied out the land. The word ve'alilu is spelled vav aleph, lamid yud, lamid vav. And if you look at four of the letters inside of that word are mamish, literally the letters of Elul. And this comes to teach us, as he goes on to say, Latur ulchapes achar nige hanefesh. The reason why the word, now it's not an acronym, it's the entire word Elul appears within the word ve'alilu, which is the Aramaic for vayaturu, which means and they spied out. It comes to teach us, this is the time of year that you and I, we all have to become spies. Holy spies, lechapes achar nige hanefesh. We've got to spy out ourselves to see if there's any blemish on our souls. Ulefashfesh b'maasav. We have to explore. We have to investigate. We have to dig to find, scrutinize our actions. Is there anything that we could possibly improve on? Well, Elul is the time to do that, and that was approach number five. Now we share approach number six. I'm already off the page of the Piskei Tshuvos. The sixth approach comes from the Baal HaTurim on Parshas Nitzavim in chapter 30, verse 6. The Baal HaTurim, Rabbeinu Yaakov, the son of Rabbeinu Asher, who was born in Germany in 1269, and because of anti-Semitism in Germany at that time, could you imagine anti-Semitism in Germany? He had to move to Spain, and he died in 1343. In any case, the famous Baal HaTurim, the Tor, the Baal HaTurim, he says there is a verse found in Psalms, chapter 27, verse 13, that says, Lule he'emanti liros betuv Hashem, which means in English, had I not trusted that I would see the goodness of Hashem. Take a look at that first word, lule. Lule is spelled lamed vav, lamed aleph. And if you read that word backwards, it spells the word Elul. How do you like that? And by the way, do you know which psalm this is coming from? This is Psalm 27. This is the psalm that we're going to say the entire month of Elul, all the way up to Shmini Atzeres, L'David Hashem Ori, and it's found in this psalm, and says, yes, go ahead. In Hebrew, again, the words are Lule He'emanti Liros Bituv Hashem. Oh, sorry, in Tehillim, it's a Perek Chav Zayin 27, Pasuk Yud Gimel, verse 13. And so the Baal HaTurim says, what does this come to teach us? He says, it teaches us that during this month, we are supposed to increase our reverence of Hashem. How do we know that? Because it says, after it says Lulei, which are Osios Elul, Lulei, the letters of Elul, it says Lirot Bituv Hashem. If we were to see Hashem, if we were to see all the benefits that we receive from Hashem on a constant basis, we would be filled with reverence of Hashem, says the Baal HaTurim. That's why Elul is coded into this verse to teach us this is a month which is propitious in order to increase our Yiras Hashem, the reverence that we have for Hashem. That was approach number 6. And now we move on to number 7. There is a verse in Psalms. It's in a Sefer Tehillim. It's in chapter 100, verse 3. Perek Kof, Pasuk Gimel. And there it says, De'u ki Hashem hu ha'elokim. Know that Hashem, He is God. Hu asanu, He made us. Ve'lo anachnu. Now the translation of those last two words might depend on how you spell at least one of those two words. Because here we have a Mesorah, we have a tradition that with respect to one of the words in this verse, there's what's called a ksiv and a kri. A ksiv means the way the word is written or the way that the word is spelled. The kri means the way the word is spoken, the way the word is articulated. So, what is the ksiv? What is the written word? Velo anachnu. The word velo is spelled with a letter aleph. And that means velo anachnu amo would translate as, and we are not his people. Phew. However, the kri, the spoken word, the way we are meant to articulate the word velo, is not with an aleph at the end, it's with a vav at the end. And I understand that, I'm just speaking for myself, but I would imagine many of us, there is real no difference in the way we would pronounce velo and velo with an aleph and a vav. But back in the day, there was a distinction. Maybe we've lost to a certain degree some of those nuances, but in any case, the way to pronounce the word is velo with a vav, velo anachnu amo, would translate as, and we are his people. Comes along, I'm sorry? Yes, the entire pasuk? The source, in Sefer Tehillim, Perek Kof, Pasuk Gimel. That's the book of Psalms, chapter 100, verse 3. And the words we're looking on, that we're focusing on right now, is velo anachnu amo, either that translates as velo with an aleph, we are not his people, or velo with a vav, and we are his people. Well, make up our minds. Are we Hashem's people? Are we not Hashem's people? Come along the Gera Rebbe's, the Sfas Emes, Rabbi Yehuda, Aryeh Leib Alter, who was the second Gera Rebbe, in his Ma'amarim, in his teachings on the month of Elul, he cites his grandfather, the Chidush Harim, Rabbi Yitzchak Meir Alter Rottenberg, the first Gera Rebbe. The Sfas Emes was raised by his grandfather, because the Sfas Emes' father passed away at a very young age. In any case, the Sfas Emes cites his grandfather, who says that the explanation is as follows. When we, the Jewish people, when we do Ritzono Shel Makom, when we fulfill the word of God, then we all have the Bechina, which means we have the essence and constitution of Velo Anachnu with a Vav, which means then we are Hashem's people. However, when the Jewish people are not doing the will of God, then we take on the Bechina, we take on the essence and constitution of Velo Anachnu with an Aleph, which means then we are not his people. However, say the Gera Rebbe's, if you take this word that we're looking at, the word is lo. How do you spell lo? Lo with an aleph or lo with a vav? Take both of them and put them together, it spells the word Elul, which comes to teach us that during the month of Elul, we have the power of transforming Lo anachnu with an aleph. We can transform the status of not being his people into lo anachnu with a vav, into yes, we are his people. In what way can we transform the lo with an aleph to a lo with a vav? Through something called tshuva, something called repentance, or returning to Hashem, returning to who we truly are. Because what is the difference between the word lo with an aleph and lo with a vav? You'll say, Rabbi, you just mentioned the difference. One has a vav and one has an aleph. Let me ask it this way. What is the numerical difference between lo with an aleph and lo with a vav? The answer would be 5. Lo with a vav is 36. Lo with an aleph is 31. The difference between the two numbers is 5. When the Jewish people are not carrying out the will of God, when we sin, we're missing the 5. We are, true, hey is missing, right? Missing the 5, which means we are not at that stage called lo with a vav. We're lo with an aleph, which means that we are not really behaving as Hashem's people. But through the process of tshuva, we can return the 5 to its place. We can add 5 points to lo with an aleph, which is 31, which brings us to lo with a vav, which is 36. And how do you know that tshuva has the power to do that? It's hinted to in the word tshuva itself, the Hebrew word teshuva. If you take the last letter of the word teshuva, which is a letter he, and move it away from the rest of the word, you have 2 words. It's teshuv he. Return the he back to its place. The letter he is numerically 5. Through the process of tshuva, we can return the hay, the 5, we can add 5 to lo with an aleph, which means we are not behaving as God's people, to lo with a vav, that we are behaving as Hashem's people. And when do we have an opportunity like no other time in the year to do this tshuva? That's Elul, lo with an aleph, lo with a vav. Elul comes to teach us this is the time of year which is the most propitious time of the year. A person can do tshuva any day, but there's something about the energy of Elul that makes it maybe easier or more better received by Hashem. That was approach number 7 as to the meaning of Elul. What I would like to share with you right now, Chevra means friends, is an 8th approach on the meaning of Elul, and this approach will connect with this week's parsha, Parsha Shoftim. Did you know that Parsha Shoftim is the parsha that kicks off the month of Elul? Shoftim is read on the first Shabbos in the month of Elul, which brings us all to question number 1. What is the connection between Parsha Shoftim and the month of Elul? Why is Shoftim, Parsha Shoftim, which means judges, why is this the portion that most often kicks off the month of Elul? Number 2, we find that from Rosh Chodesh Elul, that's the very first day of Elul, which today is Rosh Chodesh Elul, until Yom Kippur, including the first day of Rosh Chodesh Elul, and including the day of Yom Kippur itself, there are 40 days altogether. And these 40 days that we've just entered into together right now, they are considered to be days of rachamim, days of compassion. It is during this period of time that Hashem is going to forgive the Jewish people for all of their sins. Which brings us to question number 2. What is the mahus? What is the essence? What is the constitution of this month of Elul? Why are these days considered to be days of compassion? Why does Hashem choose to forgive the Jewish people for all of our sins specifically at this time? So to answer and address maybe one approach to the second question straight off the top, to understand the mahus, the essence of Elul, as to why these days are propitious for compassion and forgiveness, we're going to have to take a look at the month of Elul in Jewish history. We have to go back in time, because we will find that the roots of this month of Elul goes all the way back to Mount Sinai. The third and last time Moshe Rabbeinu, Moses our teacher, ascended on top of Mount Sinai for a 40-day period of time, Moshe ascended on Rosh Chodesh Elul, the first of Elul, and Moshe descended on Yom Kippur itself. You see, before this third and last chunk of 40 days, the Jewish people, unfortunately, they got involved in a sin with the golden calf, and therefore Moshe came down the mountain, Mount Sinai, after the first set of 40 days, which was on Shiva Asar B'Tammuz, the 17th day of the Hebrew month of Tammuz, and Moshe saw the sin of the golden calf. Moshe Rabbeinu broke the first set of luchos, the first set of tablets. Moshe went on top of Mount Sinai a second time for another 40 days and 40 nights to pray on behalf of the Jewish people that Hashem should not annihilate them. Moshe came down and went up again for a third set of 40 days. That third ascent happened on Rosh Chodesh Elul, and it concluded on Yom Kippur itself. And therefore, Moshe Rabbeinu came down on Yom Kippur. This is at the end of the third set of 40 days, and it was at that time that Hashem forgave, for the most part, Hashem forgave the Jewish people for the sin of the golden calf. Take a look at Rashi in Parshas Ekev in chapter 10, verse 1, which says this idea explicitly. So look at what happened. During those last 40 days, Rosh Chodesh Elul, until Yom Kippur, what happened? Hashem forgave the Jewish people for one of the greatest mega crimes the Jews were ever guilty of. That's the sin of the golden calf. And Hashem forgave them at this chunk of time. Solachti kidvarecha, I have forgiven, as you have spoken, Moshe Rabbeinu. Once these 40 days served as days of forgiveness in that generation, these 40 days remained days of compassion, days of forgiveness, where Hashem every single year chooses to forgive the Jewish people for all of their sins. We have just answered, at least partially, one approach. Question number two, what is the essence of this period of time? Rosh Chodesh Elul until Yom Kippur, the essence is these days are days of compassion. Why are they days of compassion? Well, not so much a why right now, more of a what. Since we find that Hashem forgave the Jewish people during these 40 days for such a mega crime as the golden calf, well, then these days can be utilized for Hashem to forgive the Jewish people for all sorts of other sins. That is the essence, or where it stems from historically, the nature of this period of time. Comes along the Torah in Orach Chaim, that's the first section of the Code of Jewish Law, in chapter 581, he cites a Pirkei de Rebbe Eliezer, that's a Medrash, in chapter 46, where he says, regarding the third time that Moshe ascended Mount Sinai, Rosh Chodesh Elul, Hashem said to Moshe, found in Parshas Ekev 10-1, Alei Eli Hahara, come up to me to the mountain. On that day that Moshe ascended the mountain, the Jewish people blew the shofar. They sounded the blasts of the shofar on the day Moshe ascended. And why did they do that? In order to let the Jewish people know which day we start counting the 40 days from. You see, it was a mistaken calculation on behalf of the Jews, which brought about the sin of the golden calf. The first time Moshe ascended the mountain, the Jewish people started counting the 40 days. Moshe said, I'll be up there for 40 days and 40 nights. The Jews began accidentally counting a day early. So when the Jews reached day 40, at the end what the Jews thought was day 40, but it was really day 39, they saw Moshe did not come down the mountain. The Jews reasoned Moshe must be dead. The Jews went into a panic. We need another leader. They turned to a golden calf, and that led one thing led to the other. In order to ensure that this should not happen again, a shofar blast was sounded on Rosh Chodesh Elul, so everyone knew exactly when to count from. So at the end of the 40 days, Moshe comes down to avoid that type of panic, avoid further idolatry. And Hashem was exalted with that blast of a shofar, like it says in Tehillim, Mem Zayin Vav, in chapter 47, verse 6, Allah Elokim Bisrua, God will be exalted with a trumpet blast, Hashem Bekol Shofar, the Lord with the sound of a shofar. Hashem is exalted, and therefore, our Chachamim, says the Torah, based on the Midrash, our sages of blessed memory, they instituted that since the Jewish people historically blew the shofar on Rosh Chodesh Elul some 3,000 years ago and change, we should also blow the shofar on Rosh Chodesh Elul as a way of commemorating, memorializing, as a zecher to what they did at that time. But the sages said, once we begin to blow the shofar on Rosh Chodesh Elul, let's not stop and blow the shofar throughout the entire month of Elul, which is done typically after the morning service every single day, of course, barring Shabbos. And the blast of the shofar in the month of Elul serves another benefit. It inspires us, it motivates us to do teshuvah, to repent, as it says in the book of Amos, in 3-6, Gimel-Vav, in Yitaka Shofar Be'ir. Will the shofar be sounded in the city? V'am lo yecharodu? And the people not quake? Like they say in the vernacular, ken nitzayim. Cannot be. When the shofar is sounded, we get chills up and down our spines. That is a benefit that we have. The Torah also concludes, and he says, another benefit, blowing the shofar the entire month of Elul, and then we stop right before Rosh Hashanah, and we start again. That's la'arbev es ha-satan, that's to confuse the Satan, and how that works, and why that works, although I've mentioned it many years ago, that's going to be beyond the scope of our talk today. But in any case, there is a beautiful hint, many hints, to this idea that the month of Elul is misugal. It is a propitious time for doing teshuva. Now, a few minutes ago we saw together through the lenses of the Mishnah Berurah that we mentioned, we had from the page. I'm going to mention it again, but share the earliest source from where it comes. The Avudraham, Rabbeinu David Avudraham, a 14th century sage from Spain, in his writings on Tfilas Rosh Hashanah, on the liturgy of Rosh Hashanah, he says, well, the month of Elul is coded into, again, this is the most famous, this is the Avudraham's code, is the most famous of all of them. We mentioned it before, Shir HaShirim, Song of Songs, in 6-3, Ani Ledodi Vedodi Li, I'm my beloved is mine, acronym is Elul, and says the Avudraham, this comes to teach us that there is a special Yedidus, there is a special loving relationship between the Jewish people and God at this time of year, which is why Hashem opens his hands, so to speak, to accept any type of teshuvah, any type of improvement that we want to offer to Hashem. Comes along the Bnei Yisachar, Rabbi Tzvi Elimelech of Dinov. Dinov is a place in Poland. He lived from 1783 to 1841. In his Ma'amarim, in his teachings to the month of Elul 1-15, he says, and we mentioned it before, I'm just sharing now the earlier sources. We saw it from the Mishnah Berurah. Here comes, says the Bnei Yisachar. He says, don't just look at the acronym of Ani Ledodi Vedodi Li. Look at the sophonym of Ani Ledodi Vedodi Li, and you have four yuds, which equal numerically 40, which represent the 40 days from Rosh Chodesh Elul until Yom Kippur, and says the Bnei Yisachar, this comes to teach us that these 40 days are days of compassion, because after all, the acronym is Ani Ledodi Vedodi Li. It's a loving relationship, there's a lot of compassion in that relationship. Now comes along the Sforno, Rabbeinu Ovadia Sforno, an Italian sage who lived from 1475 to 1549. In Parshas Kisisa 24:18, that's Chaf Dalet Yud Ches, as well as the Sifsei Kohen, that's the Shach al HaTorah, in Parshas Ekev 9-9, Rabbi Shabtai Kohen, who was a 17th century sage from Belarus, they both say, they add, to explain, maybe another answer, to our question number two. We wanted to know, what is the mahus, what is the essence of this month of Elul? From, you know, the 40 days from Rosh Chodesh Elul to Yom Kippur, why, to explain why they are days of compassion, to explain why would Hashem be so willing to forgive us for all of our sins, specific at this time of year. So to explain all of that, they cite a Gemara in Bechoros on page 21b, where Rav Chisda says the following statement, Yetziras Havlad Be'isha Arboyim Yom. The amount of time it takes for the formation of an embryo in its mother's womb is 40 days. What do we see from this Gemara? We see that in 40 days, an almost nothing became a something. In 40 days, an almost nothing took shape. An almost nothing in 40 days became a new creation. And they say there's a tremendous lesson that we are supposed to extrapolate from this, and that is that if an almost nothing can become a something in 40 days, we're supposed to learn from that. Imagine what we could become in just 40 days. We would also be able to change our nature in 40 days. A person can reshape oneself, remold oneself, or resculpt oneself in 40 days. In 40 days, a person can recreate himself. During the 40 days, we can reshape ourselves. And which 40 days would be the most propitious days of change and of the sculpting and molding and reshaping and creating ourselves anew, if not the 40 days from Rosh Chodesh Elul until Yom Kippur? Because they go on to say, Moshe Rabbeinu went up on top of that mountain, Mount Sinai, for the last set of 40 days. He went up on Rosh Chodesh Elul, and during those 40 days, what did Moshe Rabbeinu do? What was being accomplished during that time? So these sages say that during that period of time, the Jewish people were becoming an Am Shel Torah. We became a Torah nation. What was Moshe Rabbeinu doing on top of that mountain for 40 days and 40 nights? I'll tell you this much, he wasn't eating, and he was not drinking, and he was not sleeping. He didn't have a cell phone. What was the man doing all that time? He was being taught Torah by Hashem himself. During the 40 daylight hours, Moshe learned Torah's Nigla, revealed Torah. During the 40 nighttime hours of the 40 days, he was learning Torah's Nistar, hidden secrets of the Torah. And we find the Mishnah in Maseches Brachos, in Perek Hey, Mishnah Hey, or on page 34b, pages of the Gemara would cite the Mishnah, that the Mishnah says, Shlucho shel Adam kamoso. When you appoint an agent to do something on your behalf, whatever he does is credited back to the Mishaleach, to the person who appointed him. The Jewish people appointed Moshe to be their representative. If during those last 40 days, Moshe Rabbeinu became an Ish HaTorah, a person filled with Torah, whatever Moshe did would be credited back to the Jewish people. The Jewish people, during those last 40 days, became an Am Shel Torah, a nation of Torah, which was very different than the status they had prior to those 40 days. Prior to those 40 days, the Jews had become an Am Shel Avodah Zarah, a nation of idolaters when it came to the sin of the golden calf. But look what happened during those last 40 days. The Jews had abandoned, they shed off their old status of a nation of idolaters. They became a nation of Torah. The Jews became a nation of Baalei Teshuvah, of penitence. And as a result of that, they all became a Beria Chadasha, an entirely new creation. This, they say, is a second way to answer our second question. What is the essence of Elul? What is the mahus? What is the constitution of this month? We've already said so far, well, these are days of compassion. That was answer number one to question two. Now we have answer number two to this second question. You know what the essence of Elul is? It is a time when we can recreate ourselves. We can become new and even better versions of ourselves. This is something inherent in this time period from Rosh Chodesh Elul until Yom Kippur. So let's explore another meaning, because I mentioned we're going to have eight. This is going to be the eighth interpretation of Elul. Let's share an eighth approach to the name Elul, which complements our becoming a new creation at this time of year. The Shvilei Pinchas points out that at Yom Kippur, the Kohen Gadol, the high priest, entered into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, the Holy of Holies, and it was there that the Kohen Gadol spritzed, he sprinkled the blood of a bull, which had been set aside as a sin offering. And the Kohen Gadol also sprinkled the blood of a seer, of a goat, which had also been set aside as a sin offering. And the way in which the high priest sprinkled these two sets of blood was in a most peculiar way. How did he spritz? How did he sprinkle? Well, he dipped his finger in the blood and he sprinkled once in an upward direction, and then he sprinkled seven times in a lower direction. This is a Mishnah found in Maseches Yoma. It's in Perek Hei Mishnah Gimel, or page 53b, the pages of the Gemara which quote the Mishnah, but it's based on verses. There are psukim in the Torah that tell us the Kohen Gadol has to sprinkle in this way. Where are those verses? In Parshas Acharimos, in 16:14, Tes Zayin Yudalid, what does it say? V'lakach midam hapar. And he must take some of the blood of the bull, v'hizo be'etzba'o, and sprinkle it with his finger, alpnei hakapores, upon the surface of the cover, kedma, facing east, v'lefnei hakapores, and in front of the cover, yazeh sheva pa'amim min adam be'etzbo. He sprinkles the blood seven times with his finger. So Rashi on the spot, and Rashi is basing his comments on the Gemara in Maseches Yoma on 55a. Rashi says, in the very beginning of this verse, when it says Yaza be'etzba'o, he sprinkles with his finger, says Rashi from the Gemara, Hazo achas b'mashma. That implies one spritz. That's one. The verse begins Yaza. Yaza sounds like one. That's the one sprinkle in an upward direction. Then Rashi says, since the end of the verse concludes that before the kapores, he says, yazeh sheva pa'amim, sprinkle seven times, Rashi says, what do we see from here? You put the two ends of the verse together, it's once in an upward direction and seven in a lower direction. That's with respect to the blood of a bull that was set aside as a sin offering. And the very next pasuk there in Acharimos, it goes on to talk about the seer, the goat, that was set aside as a sin offering. And it says, v'shochat asir achatos asher la'am, he slaughters that goat, v'hevias damo el mi beis haparochas, he brings the blood inside, and v'asa es damo ka'asher asa ledam hapar. Whatever the Kohen Gadol did with the blood of a bull, he does the very same thing with the blood of the goat. And you see clearly, what did he do with the bull? He sprinkled once upward, seven times downward. That's the very same thing the Kohen Gadol would do with the blood of the goat. Comes along the Shvilei Pinchas, and he says, this avoda, this service to God, over which the Kohen Gadol officiated in the Holy of Holies on Yom Kippur, is actually hinted to in the name of our month, which is Elul. And here we get to approach number 8. Elul is spelled Aleph, Lamed, Vav, Lamed. Those four letters serve as the acronym for Achas Lemaila V'Sheva Lemata, which means once in an upward direction and seven times in a lower direction, which is taken, that sentence is right out of the Mishnah. There in Maseches Yoma, says the Shvili Pinchas, this comes to teach us that already at the beginning of these 40 days, which commences with Rosh Chodesh Elul, in which we begin the new formation of the Jewish people, at the very beginning, that's today, our eyes are already looking forward. Our eyes are longing and pining to Hashem, that Hashem should complete our new formation as a Beria Chadasha, as a new creation, Yom Kippur, when we're going to mention in the Musaf service, or maybe if Mashiach comes, we'll have in the Beis HaMikdash, when the Kohen Gadol does the avoda of spritzing Achas Lamaila V'sheva Lamata, once above, seven below, Roshei Tevos, acronym Elul, because that avoda, that service of the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur, in the Holy of Holies, is considered to be the Makkeh B'Patish. It is the final hammer's blow through which there is a hashlama, a completion of this new formation that the Jewish people are going to take on, because Elul is the beginning of this process. Elul begins the process, Yom Kippur concludes the process. But before we get into this even a little bit more, we have to ask ourselves just maybe a few more questions. Question number 3, what does it mean? What does it mean, or what's the depth behind a Kohen Gadol going into the Holy of Holies on Yom Kippur and spritzing the blood in this, you and I might call it a little strange, we never saw this before, once upward direction, seven times in a downward direction. Why? Why? What's it for? What's it all about? That's question number 3. Speaking of this avoda of the Kohen Gadol in the Holy of Holies, let's share a related Mishnah. Mishnah is found in Maseches Yoma, Perek Hei Mishnah Gimel, or again, page 53b, the pages of the Gemara where the Mishnah is found. I'll read it. Let's read it together. Notal es hadam. The high priest takes the blood. Mimi shahaya memaris bo. From the Kohen Hedyot, that's a regular Kohen, who had been mixing the blood so that the blood does not congeal. Nichnas lemakom shenichnas. The high priest went back inside where he had been before. Where is that place? Rashi points out, lebeis kotchei hakadoshim. The high priest takes that blood and goes back inside the Holy of Holies. V'omad bemakom sh'omad. And the high priest stands where he had been standing before. Where had he been standing before? Bein habadim, between the poles of the Aron HaKodesh of the Holy Ark. And the Kohen Gadol would then dip his finger in the blood and begin to spritz. Here come the words of the Mishnah. Achas lamayla, once in an upward direction. V'sheva lamata, and seven times in a downward direction. Those are the words. Rashi Tevos Elul. The Mishnah continues. V'kach hoya mohone. And this is the way the Kohen Gadol would count those spritzes. Achas. Right? It feels like you want to say it out, right? Achas means once. That refers to the one spritz in an upper direction. And then when it came to the seven lower ones, he would say, Achas v'achas, one and one. Achas v'shtayim, one and two. Achas v'shalosh, achas v'arba, achas v'chamesh, achas v'sheish, achas v'sheva, one and seven. That's the end of the Mishnah. Now the Gemara asks the obvious question on the Mishnah, on the counting. The Mishnah is found in Yoma 55a. The Gemara asks, wait a minute, counting, very strange. We can understand that the Kohen Gadol would say the word achas on the one sprinkle going upward. That's one. But when it comes to the seven sprinkles in a downward motion, why does he say achas for achas, one and one, one and two? Just say achas, shtayim, shalosh, arba, chamesh, shesh, sheva. Just say seven. One, two, three, four, five, six, seven. What's one and one? What do you mean, achas for achas? The first word achas is going on the upper spritz. Why would you want to mention the upper spritz together with the lower spritz? And why say achas v'shtayim? Why is he adding? That's the Gemara's question. The Gemara has several answers. The Gemara cites Rabbi Elazar. Rabbi Elazar says, you know why he does that? Kidei shelo yita b'hazaos. What time do we have to end? Right now. Yeah? This minute? Okay. Okay. Okay, l'chaim. Okay, hold on. I didn't know. I thought I had till like 12:20, but it's 12:15? Or even, okay. 12:10. Okay, I apologize. I did not know. Okay. Going to realign. Okay, in a minute, what would take the next 20 minutes is going to be now in 1 minute. Ready for this, Chevra? Okay. Here we go. Every person has a Yetzer Tov and a Yetzer Hara. Yetzer tries to pull us down. Yetzer Tov tries to lift us up. The Gemara says that the Yetzer Hara has seven names. And the seven names, I'm not going to go through them right now. The seven names represent the seven forces of evil at his disposal to tear us down. The Yetzer Tov only has one name, one force to lift us up. Says the Ramah in Toras Ha'olah, the reason, here comes like one of the punchlines I want to leave you with, and when we spritz once up and seven times down, the point, the Derech Avodas Hashem, why the Kohen Gadol does that, is in order to join seven lower spritzes, refers to the seven lower base evil forces of the Yetzer Hara that he possesses, as you can see from his seven names, to join those with the one force of the Yetzer HaTov, that all forces should be transformed and harnessed and directed to serve the one Hashem. And that's the reason for this whole type of spritz to begin with, and it explains why he counts achas with every lower one. I want to attach the achas of the Yetzer Tov, single-mindedness to serve Hashem, with one of the lower forces of the Yetzer Hara to lift all those forces, direct them to the service of Hashem, and because Achas Lamaila, Vesheva Lamata, is Rashi Tevos Elo, this process begins today. The process of directing these seven forces of evil, directing them up to Hashem, begins today, as the Shalach HaKadosh, and I'll end with this sentence, the Shalach HaKadosh says on our Parsha, when it's Shoftim v'Shotrim titen lecha b'chol sha'arecha, you must place judges and officers over all of your gates. Lecha is in the singular. Each person has seven gates into his neshama, through the body, two eyes, two ears, two nostrils, and a mouth. And these seven gates is what the Yetzer Hara tries to ruin us with the seven forces of evil, to bring inappropriate material into our systems, to ruin our neshamos. But we have to become the judges and the officers to protect the seven gates, to make sure the neshama stays pure by transforming the seven forces of evil to the one force of good, all directed to the service of Hashem. And when we do that, that is the process and a practical application of what we're meant to do during the next 5 weeks, which from now till Yom Kippur, look at the five senses: eyes, ears, nose, mouth, and the sense of touch. Each week should be dedicated to ensure that we only engage, try as much as we can each week. 1 week focus on the eyes, second week on the ears, the next, etc., etc. And may you all be zocha, blessed together, to become this Am HaTorah of Hashem, a Beria Chadasha, lifting ourselves from the lowest to even the highest. Blessed is Hashem. Thank you for listening. Have a wonderful day. Okay.